Chapter 10.
What the hell are you doing?
Lexi stood frozen in front of the food processor, a cup of black beans in her hand. She turned to see Cassie in the doorway, looking like she just drank sour milk. I'm making some healthy brownies.
With beans?
Cassie cocked an eyebrow, venturing closer and peering into the food processor. Well, you're always saying we should start a healthier line of pastries, and, well, I do need to start eating better.
Does this have anything to do with having to get a larger dress size at the shop?
Lexi felt her cheeks getting warm. That. And Jack teased me about having a muffin top. Cassie gasped.
He did not.
Lexi nodded.
Well, you don't. You look fine. What's wrong with him? Doesn't he know better than to say something like that to a woman, even if he is teasing?
Clearly not, Lexi said, pouring agave nectar into a measuring cup. Cassie leaned against the counter.
So, are you mad at him?
I guess you could say that. But not because of the muffin top remark. Lexi gestured for Cassie to pass over the cocoa powder and eggs, which she added to the food processor, along with the agave. He told me he didn't want me to investigate the murders at Nance's place, even though he doesn't think they are murders. Anyway, I don't need anyone telling me what I can and can't do. Lexi added coconut oil, vanilla extract, a pinch of salt, and instant coffee to the food processor, slammed on the lid, and started it up. I absolutely loved your dress, and the bridesmaid dresses. Lexi changed the subject to a happier one. Cassie beamed at her.
I'm so glad you liked it. I know it's not traditional, but you know me.
Lexi laughed. Your cousins seem nice. Isn't it funny that Sam works at the retirement center? I guess it's a small world.
Yeah. I'm happy to see she has a good place to work and is straightening up her act. She used to be the black sheep of the family, into drugs and all kinds of bad stuff.
Lexi stopped the food processor and scraped the contents out into a pan. She took a tentative lick from the spatula, expecting it to taste like a chocolate burrito. Instead, she found it was quite good. Hey, this is pretty good. Want some? She held the spatula out to Cassie, who took a taste.
Surprising. You can't even taste the beans.
We'll see how the brownies come out once they are baked. I might take them over to Sunny Acres. Lexi slid the pan into the oven. Glancing around the kitchen, she leaned over and whispered to Cassie, Helen is going to hypnotize some of the residents to make sure we get the dates of the suspicious deaths right, and then we can correlate them to when Rothschild worked there. Cassie raised an eyebrow, but kept silent. 35 minutes later, Lexi was staring at a warm brownie on her dish. Grabbing a fork, she cut off a corner. They were moist and rich-looking. She took a sniff, breathing a sigh of relief that it didn't smell like beans. She put the fork in her mouth and was surprised at the rich chocolate taste. Not a hint of beans in there. Yet the brownies were healthy, low in calories, and rich in fiber. She might be onto something. She scarfed down the brownie, then cut the rest of the pan into bite-sized pieces and arranged them in a bakery box that had her logo, phone number, and address. No reason why she couldn't do a little advertising while she was passing out brownies and helping to hypnotize the residents at Sunny Acres.
Are you guys back already?
The nurse's aide looked questioningly at Nance before bending down to pet Sprinkles.
We promised some of the people we met the other day that we'd come back and bring some treats from my granddaughter's bakery.
Nance pointed to the box Lexi was holding.
She owns the cup and cake, you know.
Lexi opened the box, and the smell of chocolate wafted out, pulling the aide closer.
These look delicious, may I?
Of course.
Lexi handed her a napkin from the pile she had stashed in her jacket pocket. We're going to visit a few of our new friends in their rooms today. Is it okay if we head down? Nance jerked her head toward the corridor.
Sure, the aide said. Then as they turned, she added, Thanks for the brownie.
Nance had been smart enough to get Alma's room number when they were there the other day, and she headed straight for it. This section of Sunny Acres was set up more like a nursing home, and the rooms were single bedrooms, most of which stood with their doors open. They reached Alma's room, and Helen tapped on the door to catch her attention.
Oh, hi. I didn't expect to see you people back here so soon.
We wanted to bring you some brownies that Lexi baked today.
Lexi offered the box and a napkin to Alma, who chose a brownie. Sprinkles jumped up on the chair next to Alma, and she broke off a corner of the brownie to feed to the dog. Helen sat in the chair next to Alma.
How are you feeling today?
Helen asked.
Okay, a little tired, but then I do most days. I don't have much ambition anymore, so I mostly sit here and watch TV.
Lexi noticed Helen take Alma's hand, holding it by the wrist. Nance and Ruth stood back by the door eating brownies. Ruth leaned against the door jamb and watched down the hall in a subtle attempt to stand guard. Lexi stood nearby with a box of brownies in her hand. They had planned earlier that if anyone looked like they were going to come into the room, the three of them would cluster around the door and distract them by offering them a brownie. Lexi watched in fascination as Helen talked softly to Alma, getting her to relax. The woman's eyelids fluttered and then closed.
Alma, do you remember those suspicious deaths you were telling us about?
Yes.
Can you tell me the dates?
Alma was silent for a moment, then rattled off a few dates, which Ida wrote down on a piece of paper.
Good. Alma, I'm going to tap your knee, and when I do, you'll wake up with a renewed sense of vigor and a positive attitude. You won't remember anything about this conversation, but you'll have boundless energy and a zest for life, like you did in your youth.
Alma nodded. Ruth tapped her knee. Alma's eyes drifted open. She took a bite of the brownie.
These are delicious. Thanks so much for bringing them.
She finished off the brownie, crumpled up the napkin, and threw it into the trash can.
Well, it was nice visiting you ladies, but I feel a little restless. I think I'm going to go for a long walk.
She bounced up from her chair like a teenager and headed for the door. Lexi stared after her, then turned to Helen.
Wow. Her attitude really changed. Was it that part you added at the end?
Helen nodded.
Just a little gift to make her days brighter. Now, shall we move on to the next person?
40 minutes later, they were out in the parking lot trying to squeeze themselves and Sprinkles into Lexi's VW Beetle. Lexi marveled at how Helen, Ruth, and Ida could contort themselves into the tiny back seat. Ruth said their daily yoga practice helped. Lexi started up the car, and a strange smell assaulted her nostrils, causing her nose to wrinkle.
What's that smell?
Nance blushed.
Sorry, dear. I have gas.
Oh, you too?
Ruth asked.
I thought it was me, Ida chimed in. I think Alma had it too. I heard a few duck quacks when she sprinted out of her room in front of me.
Nance glanced sideways at Lexi, who was busy fumbling with the buttons to roll down the windows.
Lexi, what was in those brownies anyway?
Lexi looked back at her sheepishly.
Black beans,
all four women said,
Oh,
at the same time. Then Ida added,
If you told us, we could have dosed up on Beano.
Nance, Ruth, and Helen laughed. Nance half turned in her seat,
so she could talk to all four of them. Even though we have to put up with some gas, I'd say the trip was a big success. Before we came, I researched the dates Nurse Rothschild worked at Sunny Acres, and she did work there on the dates Alma and the others mentioned. Now we just need to find some concrete evidence so the police can arrest her before she kills someone else.